Like I said, if we haven't met, my name is Michael Tropea. I serve here as the campus pastor, and I am just blown away by how good God is, and just to be together as one church body. Like I said, if those of you are new, we don't do this every week. We gather at 9:30 and 11, but I want to take a moment to welcome you. Family, friends that are here to support those getting baptized, we want to welcome you as well. And we, as Grace Community Church, have a mission statement that you, if you've been here any length of time, you know it by heart now, to be and make disciples for the glory of God. Like, to be and make disciples for the glory of God. The mission of Jesus, the mission of the gospel, just read by Jace, has been our mission at Grace Community Church for over 60 years. And so today is going to be a charge into that. You see, if you're just showing up, we have just gone through 3 weeks of Paul's letter to Titus that was written to Cretan households of faith. And Paul was writing to Titus to bring things in order. And what he was saying is healthy households, healthy churches have healthy, transformed leaders that are holding to Jesus. And from those transformed leaders, there's also transformed discipleship amongst one another in the house. And that matters deeply. And from there, how we live transformed lives in the world matters for public witness. But here's the thing. Without this great commission, we are just a good organization without any eternal value. Like, it doesn't matter. You can do all those good things, but if we aren't a part of the mission of God in the world that Jesus places us in, we're just doing a lot of activity that may be good, but it won't be eternal. And so today, I want to charge us as the people of God that gather here at Grace Community Church, and if you gather at other churches, to be and make disciples for the glory of God, to live out the mission and how we are aiming to do that in this next year. And so I will only be 45 minutes today. No, totally kidding. I will only be about 15 minutes today, but we're gonna pray at the end of this. And I'm grateful for those who are in the band hall and watching online, because you are a part of this as well. But I wanna set forward for us this be and make disciples through the Great Commission and what that looks like for us in this body and in the world. And so I'm gonna frame it this way. For the glory of God, we are to be and make disciples of those who are here. The ones who God has placed in our midst as a church body. Be and make disciples of those who are near, our neighbors and our community here in Tyler. And also to be and make disciples for the glory of God for those who have yet to hear the world. And so we'll frame it, and I promise I will get that done in 15 to 16 minutes. I practiced, sort of. Anyways, be and make disciples for the glory of God for those who are here. You see, this great commission that Jace read from Matthew 28 isn't optional in the life of a believer of Jesus. And I used to think, I don't know about you, that when I got saved at around 17 for the first formative years of my life, when I read the Great Commission, it was like, hey, I need to go on a whole bunch of missions trips and go to share the gospel to those who are overseas, live in different conditions for a week or so, build some things, and share the gospel here and there. And like, that was my idea of being and making disciples of the Great Commission. And although there's a part of that that is true that we will talk about, I overlooked the being and make disciples of those who are here in our midst. I tended to neglect the high call of to be and make disciples of those who are here. If you know anything of the books of the Bible, Acts 1:8 is when Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. And some of the last words he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses to where? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Where does Jesus start? Does he start in Crete like the letter we're reading from Paul to Titus? No. Does he start and he say, hey, go a little bit northeast of that, go to Turkey and then start there? No, he says, be and make disciples where your feet are planted, here in the Jerusalem, in your own people. And so I want to show us, and why I wanted us gathered too, a visual picture of our body that God has placed us here, that we are responsible for here. And so this is where the participation, I know for some of this is cringy, but I'm asking you to go with it, okay? And this is also for that in the band hall as well. If you are fifth grade and under, would you stand with me? I'm not going to call you out. It's good. All right. But would you stand? Fifth grade and under. I just want to look at you and say, you are loved here. You are loved here, and you are vital in the life of our body. And I want to say that you matter, and we are going to continue to cultivate the ground of your hearts to point you towards Jesus. We are grateful for you. And church body, I want you to look around at these little lives, because on any given Sunday, starting going forward, we have 175 to probably 200 lives that we get to steward fifth grade and under every single week. That's a church, folks. That is a small church, but we have a responsibility to cultivate that ground. Yes, Charlie Luke, we're, how you doing, bud? He's like, never talk to me again. Anyways, we have a responsibility to care for Charlie Luke's life and cultivate that ground. And we get to do that. Every single one in this room gets to steward and cultivate that. If you are a GSM student, 6th through 12th grader, I'm asking you to stand. I know we got a few of them in the room right here. I want to say to you, I want to say to each and every one of you, you matter here. You are not overlooked. We want to continue to pour into you and your lives and create environments where you can know Jesus and make a personal relationship real. You don't have to be it in your parents' faith or anything like that, but we want to let you know that you matter here, and we want to serve you here. Church body around them, we have a responsibility as well. We have a responsibility to show up in these students' lives, to be present on Sundays and Wednesdays and on events, to care for their hearts, because they are going to be the future leaders of the church, and we have a responsibility to disciple, to be and make disciples of those who are here. So we love you guys. You can sit. I know you're like, never again, again. If you are a college-age young adult or post-college-age young adult, 20s, 30s, I'll just give you some criteria there. If you want to stand for me, I know you love this. I know you love this. But look at this. I want to let you know that your faith is catalytic to me. Your authentic pursuit of Jesus and community and your ability and desire to share the gospel with the world is catalytic here. And we want to continue to cultivate your hearts and point you to Jesus with where you are and point you deeper into serving our community here in Tyler. But also, we as a church responsibility, hey, look at these. These are younger men, younger women that Titus talks to. Church body, we have a responsibility to meet with them, care for them, position them, point them towards Jesus into the future. They are the now leaders, not just the tomorrow leaders. And so even amongst this group that is standing, there's even God calling you men and women into ministry here. And I want to continue to cultivate that ground here. And we as a church body around them have a responsibility, and we will. But that's be and make disciples of those who are here. You can sit down. You've stood long enough. And then there's everyone else. Would you stand? Would you stand with me? I'm standing already. But these, hey guys, we talked about in Titus 2 that you are both an older man and younger man. You are an older woman, younger woman. But I want to let you know how grateful I am, and we are at Grace Community Church for you. We are grateful for what God is doing through you to the ministry of our body. I know many have been beautifully blessed by you, but also we need you now more than ever to lay down your giftings, to lay down your lives, and to cultivate the ground here and to make this church body continue to be your own. And we need older men, older women to pour into younger men and younger women, into marriages, into the beautiful gift of singleness, to be on mission with the gospel here in Tyler. We need you, and we are grateful for you, and we will continue to preach the word to you, create environments to thrive in your marriages. But the fact is, we need you. Every single one of you for a healthy household of faith, and we are grateful for you. You can stand now. No one more will be standing. You can sit. You can sit. Yeah. Not stand. Sit. Thank you, Adrienne. I appreciate that. You know. You see, why do I do that visual for us? Because that is the picture of the ones that are here. Everyone has a part to play in our body, to be disciples ourselves and to make disciples of those who are here. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, I put before you a call to, we had 38 positions to serve our Grace kids in preschool and under, just because of the amount of people having babies here. And just the fact that 29 of you responded to step into that moment, not out of guilt, but out of response to the gospel. And every single Sunday I walk down that hall, I'm just reminded of God's grace, that he is building this ship and he is the one walking through it, and you are walking in love towards that. For the glory of God, we will continue to press into that in this coming year. Heads up, some of the things we have coming up is we're gonna be unashamed about laying down your life for the body here, your time, your talent, your treasure. We'll have a series coming in this next couple weeks and calling you to serve with the entirety of your lives. And so just be on the lookout for that, because Jesus laid down his life in full, and so we're called to follow him and lay down our lives as well. So we're going to do that over this next year and call you deeper into Jesus and deeper into the bride of Christ here. We are, for the glory of God, we will be and make disciples of those who are here. And I'm already way over time, so guys, just, I'm blowing through it. Anyways, secondly this, for the glory of God, we will be and make disciples of those who are near. See, I'm going into my fourth year of serving as pastor of this church body, and I have been amazed at how God continues to work. God continues to work to save, to sanctify, and renew. I mean, we aren't batting 1,000, just to be fair, but the fact is God is continuing to reach neighbors and people in this city through the gospel through you. I love the story at the end of last year where I don't even know if he's here. He might be, and if I call him out without telling him, I'm sorry, Tate. Tate Coomer is a part of our body, and Jake Velasco was one day working out at the gym and shared the gospel with Tate. We're at a place where the Lord met him through Jake sharing the gospel, and he submitted his life to Jesus, and now Tate serves as a firefighter in our city. He has since gotten married, and now they have a little one coming in the coming months to change generations because of what Jake had done to share the gospel with someone who is near. Like, that is the gospel at work in our body. I love my friend Eric as a part of our body. He's starting a side hustle, hopefully be a full-on job with gardening, Genesis Gardening. Shout out to Genesis Gardening. Eric over there, he's like, never do this again. But what he's doing is every prospective client, he's sharing a Bible with them and sharing the gospel with them, whether they take his business or not, because he wants to share and serve Jesus here in our city. I know many of our college students and young adults share the gospel so faithfully because they want to see lives transformed by Jesus, to see the redemption, forgiveness, and transformation of what the gospel can do in our city. And we see it each and every week through the beautiful ministry of Boathouse and how people come to be a part of our midst here at Grace Community Church. And I am so grateful for the gospel being shared for those who are near. Because the city of Tyler, our neighborhoods need to hear the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And that is what God is doing here. And so here's where we're going. In the next year, we are gonna be training you, equipping you. That's why I had the 15-second testimonies last week, just to drip a little vision. We are gonna share the gospel and equip you to do so. Because this is a responsibility as a part of the Great Commission to go and make disciples and actually do it. Don't be scared about it, but we have the greatest news to not keep it, and we wanna equip you to do that. And Lord willing, we're gonna have a display each and every week of celebrating the sharing that is done with those who are close. And we're gonna be praying over those who we share with and continuing to believe that the gospel is gonna go forth through you to those who are near in our neighborhoods and in Tyler, and to partner with organizations that are doing that. And I'm so excited to be a part of that. But we are going for the glory of God to be and make disciples of those who are near. And lastly, but not least, for the glory of God, we will be and make disciples of those who have yet to hear. That's the all nations part. One of my greatest encouragements here as a pastor at Grace Community Church is just how much of an emphasis and embodiment of the gospel to the world Grace Community Church is. Like, we have Bryce and Sam Wilson, who were here, a part of our body, a number of years ago, who have gone to South Africa to lay down their lives for the gospel and share Jesus there. Lillian High. She was a college student, young adult, that was amongst our church body, who is now in South Africa sharing with teenagers the greatness of who Jesus is in the gospel. Caleb Good is another college student who's over in Ecuador right now. He doesn't even want to come back, I hear, because he wants to continue to share the good news of Jesus with those who have yet to hear. Dan Perez, who many of you supported and know, Sandra's son, is now in a YWAM base in Trentino, Italy. Sounds rough, right? But he is being trained. He's training and being trained to go to the Middle East to share the gospel. Kelly Leedy, who is a young adult here, will be being sent in the next coming month to the same place in Trentino to be equipped to go and share the gospel with the world. Seventh graders have gone to our Tyler community recently, and some to Houston, some to Memphis, some to Ecuador, continuing to share the gospel through serving for those who've yet to hear. Danny and Lori Price over here just led a trip to South Africa. It's a number of years in doing that, to share the gospel with those who've yet to hear. That's the rich history that we have in our midst. And I love that God is doing that and raising up a people, a church body that goes to share the redemption, the forgiveness, and transformation of Jesus in the world. And so over this next year, we are going to continue to highlight those things, continue to celebrate what God has done and the people who come back to share what God has done, to pray for the persecuted church and set these vital experiences up for our body. That's my son. I'm all for it. That's beautiful. We hear those noises. You see, I can share with you for the glory of God. We will be and make disciples of those who are here. I can share with you, the idea that we're going to be and make disciples of those who are near in our neighborhoods and in our city of Tyler. And I can share with you this and make you enthusiastic about being and making disciples of those who've yet to hear in the world. But here is the point that I don't want to miss. My heart is not that we don't do a great motivational speech and go charge the hill, right? But why we charge the hill and who we charge and who in the power we charge the hill with is what matters. You see, in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20 matter the most. Yes, we are being commissioned, but who we're commissioned from and how we're held in that commission matters. What does 18 say? 18 says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to who? Us? No, Jesus. And because it's been given to him, we go therefore. And what does it come around in verse 20? It says, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Like, he is the one that we must find our lives in. He's the one whose love we should receive and live in and grow into as disciples of Jesus. And just like Paul said to Titus, healthy households start in and need reminding week in week that they are built on and prosper as long as we hold to Jesus. Psalm 127, 1 and 2 says, unless the Lord builds a house, what? The people work in vain. We need Jesus to build us and to live in from his love, and we are going to do that. One friend shared with me this week, sent me a text and said, hey, I just want to let you know that God loves you. God delights in you, he said, were the exact words. As we live in the delight of God and his word, and as we live in the realization that God delights in us if we are in Christ, we will become deeply rooted, and these things can't do anything but come out and share with others. Share with others here, share with others near, and share with others that have yet to hear. And so what I want to do is, I know kids are getting squirrely, but you're doing great. I'm going to close this part of my message, but I want us to pray as a body for the next 5 minutes. If you have kiddos here, pray with them. If you're in the band hall, pray together. But I'm going to invite Matt Hoffman up, one of our post-college age young adults, Kelly Lomax up, and you can grab the mic if you all want to come up, and Fred Pate, one of our elders. You see, I chose these people with intention because Matt Hoffman loves discipleship and loves the heart of the house here, and he lives it out. He doesn't just talk about it. And so I'm going to ask him to pray over those who, to be and make disciples of those who are here. And after that, I'll ask Kelly. Yep, Kelly, you can align yourself here. We didn't rehearse this, so this is all going at it. And Kelly Lomax, as I've gotten to know her heart, she has a heart and she actually lives out the gospel with sharing the gospel with those who are here, inviting people into her home, and also has a heart for missions in the world. And so I'd love for you to pray over that. And Fred Pate has been an elder here for years. I want him to pray for the heart of us to hold to Jesus and not activity. And so for the next few minutes, we're going to pray together, and then I'll close us, and we'll sing, and then we'll do some baptisms after the fact. So church family, would you pray with us? Matt, why don't you kick us off?
Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for what you've done in our lives. God, you've brought us from death to life. Yes, God, you've given us a joy and a hope in Christ Jesus. So God, I pray that our hearts would be transformed every day, that we would see you more, that we would seek you intentionally, and God, that you would grow our hearts for Christ. Mm-hmm. God, we know that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So God, give us the boldness to speak your truth, God, to speak your love to those around us. Yes. God, where we live, work, and play, Pastor Mike isn't going to go into those spaces and proclaim the gospel. God, we're the church. That's our mission. God, grow our hearts, yes, to be obedient, not out of obligation, but out of love. God, you've given us news so good. How could we not share it? How could we not go out and pursue the lost? Yes, Jesus. God, I pray that you would transform our hearts to be bold, to be on fire for your mission, for your kingdom, to be intentional with those around us.
Yes, Jesus.
Church, I want you to think about someone in your life. Church, close your eyes and pray for someone who doesn't know Christ. I want to give you 30 seconds right now to have a name, to see a face, and pray for them. See who God created them to be. See that person who's far off and know the love that Christ has for them. Let that love fill your heart. God, I pray for every soul that you put into the mind and the heart of the people here. God, I pray that you are already softening their heart. God, that you are already creating a deep desire to know you deeper. And God, I pray for faithfulness in the actions and the lives of everyone here, that they'll be your hands and feet, that they will reach those people who are far off, that they will see those who are stuck, not knowing how to pursue their faith, and that they would come alongside them, that they would share their life with them, that they would walk. God, that they would be patient with them and pursue them as you've pursued us, Christ. God, grow our hearts and help us to live in obedience out of love for you. In Christ's name.
God, I thank you that as believers, you have called us out of darkness and into light, and you did not intend for that light to be kept within ourselves. When your name was brought and glorified through us surrendering to your lordship, you intended that to continue. I love how Pastor Mike said, the Great Commission isn't optional. It's meant for all the believers, to everyone who professes the name of Jesus. Before you went away to prepare a place for us, these are the words that you spoke. Yes, they are not meant for people who are in paid time, full ministry. They are meant for every one of us. They are meant for men and for women. Yes, it is meant for the young and for the old. Mm-hmm. You are preparing a place for us because you are coming again. And you tell us that you will come, but your gospel message, this kingdom message, will be proclaimed among the whole world, and then the end will come. You tell us to go into all nations and to baptize nations, ethnos, people group. And we can hear statistics and numbers. We can learn about things, how 42% of the world is still unreached people groups that don't have access to your message, don't have access to a preacher, or don't have access to your scripture. That 1 in 5 people are still waiting for the Bible to be translated in their language. And yet we can be drowning in Bibles where we live currently. But just how Matt was praying of thinking of a name, we can hear numbers, but you can see every single name because you knit them together in their mother's womb. They were your idea, their eye color, their personality. Whether they're short or tall, you were intentional in beautifully designing them. And forgive us, God. Forgive us when we get so caught up in our own insecurity that we forget that the most loving thing we could ever do is to share this beautiful message of salvation to our neighbors, to our friends, and to the foreigners that God has brought from the unreached people groups of the world into our backyards, into our schools. The most hateful thing we could do is to withhold the beautiful message of salvation. I think of the scripture that you say, you are not slow, as some understand slowness, but you are patient. You are coming back, but you are being patient because you wish none to perish, but you wish for everybody to come to repentance. You are a good, good God. And it was your idea, your chosen method to use your people, the church, to reach the world. Would you stir in our hearts and know that we are not just living our own independent life, waiting till you come back and you do something. No, you have called us to join you in your work, and there is a lot of work left to do. Mm-hmm. We love you, Jesus. We love you. Amen.
Father, Skylar said it so well to you in her prayer earlier that we're all missionaries. Every one of us, we're on the clock 24 hours a day, Lord. And I just pray, Father, that you would help us each to consider all the opportunities we have to be Jesus to a broken world. Help us realize that every interaction that we have throughout the day is an opportunity to reflect your love, the love of Jesus, and that there are opportunities for us to actually introduce Jesus to people who maybe don't know you, Lord. Help us not to be distracted by the many, affairs of the day that try to crowd out your gospel message, Lord. And I know that every person here has some weight upon them, some heaviness, some distraction, something that, eats away at them. I certainly have, things in my life, Father, that try to crowd you out. And I just pray, Lord, that I would just say no to those things, and that I would lean into your grace, and that I would appreciate how your comfort is there and your love. So I pray, Father, that you would help us all to be effective missionaries, as Scholar said, effective missionaries of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we would reflect your love in every interaction that we have. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
And God, I just pray, before we stand and sing how great you are, God, I pray that we live in from your love, the love we've first received in Christ. And God, help us to know that, help to deepen our roots in you, and that we can be missionaries, that we're all called to be that. And you've welcomed us in because of Christ. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for defeating the grave. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that now lives in us. And God, you are the one who is greatly to be praised. And let us live from that and deeper into your love as we pursue you in this next year. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, there's something about hearing us as a body worship together and ascent to the great holy God that we serve. And I'm going to invite you to sit, because we're going to continue to worship also through baptisms. And in a second, I will invite everyone up, but I want to set the stage for us a little bit. Matthew, in the Great Commission, writes from Jesus, and he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." So we have 8 people that are going to be baptized today to publicly declare that Jesus is their Savior. And so I wanna invite you to stay, but I want to acknowledge that for some people in the room that are feeling uncomfortable in the sense of, because everything's happening here, this could be an off-ramp for you to leave, and there's no shame in it, okay? But we want to continue to celebrate, and so I just want to offer that if you have to leave, leave, but we're going to continue to celebrate through the ordinance of baptism today. And what we want to do too is, if there's any kiddos in the room that want to be up close and personal to this, we want to invite them over here to come and sit together, to be a part of this, to observe. And come around this aisle, and just to be a part of that. If those in the band hall want to come also as well, just to make this a family moment. All right, freedom. Yes, right here. And one thing I also want to set up. I want to set up, maybe the Lord is stirring your heart to be baptized even today. Maybe you want to walk that obedient next step today. And we want to get you baptized today as well. What I ask is, if the Lord is stirring your heart to do that, we have 2 people waiting out in the commons area ready to say, hey, we want to hear your story. We want to hear your story and hear what God has done to make sure you are saved and publicly declare and walk in obedience that faithful next step. So that is offered and available for you today. We'll baptize you at the end of the service when everything concludes and celebrate with you. But I want to challenge you, if you haven't been baptized, I want to challenge you. Maybe the Spirit's stirring you to cause you to say yes to being baptized. Go meet with them out in the commons. Man, you guys doing all right? All right, well, we're going to do baptisms a little bit differently than we normally do. I'm going to invite everyone getting baptized up. We're going to share their stories, and so welcome them up. Doing all right, George? All right. We're gonna get started with George Joseph. Their families have been a part of our church body for many years. And George, would you share with us a little bit about your story, and so we can hear and celebrate with you?
Hi, my name's George. I'm 7 years old, and I'm here to tell everyone that I have put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell everyone my favorite verse, John 14:6. Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me."
That's right.
Amen.
And George, we want to say that, one, we are so grateful that we serve a God who saves, who is all-powerful and all-loving. Your mom and I, we have seen your love and rejoice in it for God and for others. And our prayer, just like our mission here at church, is that you would be a disciple who makes disciples, right? That you would seek his will above all else, and that you would do that all the days of your life. We're so grateful for his saving power.
Amen.
All right, I'm Austin Reed, and this is my son, Kinsley. And I wrote some note cards down because I get nervous. But really, seriously, first of all, we're going to kind of do a little Q&A here. Number one, do you believe that Jesus died for you and was sacrificed for your sins?
Yes, I do.
Okay, excellent. Perfect. You can cheer that. You can clap that. And then why do you want to be baptized today?
Because I want to show the church how I have been forgiven.
Exactly. Good. Amen. Amen. And then if you'll just share one verse that is important to you.
Ecclesiastes 11:9. You who are young, be happy when you're young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow whatever your eyes see, Oh, I forgot the rest.
No, you're right. That's all good. That's good. It's awesome. And let me just say, what I have seen and what your family has seen in you is that as you've been starting to take in the word of truth through podcasts, through listening, through reading your Bible and stuff, we see that word of truth just taking root in your heart. So I just want to encourage you that as you grow in faith, keep watering those roots, and the tree of faith will grow, and then others will take shade in, under your faith. It'll be awesome. Keep doing it, brother.
I'm Josh Van Buskirk, and this is Aiden. Aiden, I know it's not easy being up on the stage in front of all these people, but I'm so excited to be up here celebrating this with you and with our whole body. I know that you're here in the spirit of obedience, because I still have that flyer in my truck that you show me every single day, and I kept asking about it day after day until we signed that form and committed you this. And I'm so excited and so proud for you. Let's go ahead and tell everybody about yourself.
My name is Aiden Van Buskirk. I'm 11 years old. I met Jesus in my heart when I was 8 at a VBS, and they were talking about how Jesus would save us. He died on the cross and rose 3 days later. And that we bet to save us so we could go to heaven, but the only way to do that was to let him into our heart and believe all those things. So at the really end, they started praying. I prayed to let him in my heart. And I want to get back. I want to get baptized to show people that I believe in him, and have faith in him, and I want to share to others about him.
Amen.
My name is Holly. I grew up in a Christian home with a loving family who showed me what it meant to live in community and to serve your church body. In the middle school, like it does, brought an abundance of chaos into my life, which contributed to anxiety and depression. At 14, my family moved across the country, and the Lord blessed me with a great group of friends who took me to their Bible study. This is where I learned what it meant to truly follow Christ and make my relationship with the Lord my own. In the last 12 years of walking with the Lord, I've been far from perfect, but he has met me with an abundance of peace and joy, even when he sent me back to the chaos of middle school on mission as a teacher. After walking with the Lord for 12 years, he put it on my heart to stop delaying obedience and getting baptized. So today, I'm excited to be baptized as a testament to the eternal hope that the Lord has given me.
Amen.
My name is Tanner. I don't remember much of my life before Jesus. I grew up in a Christian household where we went to church every Sunday. We read the Word, prayed, and served our church and community. My parents, grandparents, and pastor were extremely influential in sharing the gospel with me when I was young, and it was because of them that I was convicted of my need for a Savior. Though I cannot pinpoint an exact moment, Jesus has been my Lord and Savior for the majority of my life. It wasn't until I got to college, however, that my faith became my own. That is when I truly grasped the idea of relationship over religion. I was able to understand why I faced trials that tested my faith. He has helped me overcome mental health issues, loss, and loneliness. Because of these things, I can trust Jesus more and experience the true joy that only he can provide. He is constantly renewing my mind and reminding me of my need for him to be first in my life. That is why I'm getting baptized today, to publicly declare that he is truly first in my life.
Mm.
Hi, I'm Audrey. Kind of nervous. I don't speak in front of people at all. So before Jesus, I always knew who he was. I was in and out of church growing up. I actually went to Green Acres down the street.
You got this.
I became very distant through my middle school and high school years. I had trouble with mental health, and I didn't feel that Jesus was around me, but later in college, freshman and sophomore year, I went and looked at my workbooks, and he was there, and that really drove me more to continue my faith and reach out more. So I started coming to Grace Community a little over a year and a half ago, and I got to see Michael baptize his brother, like, I think it was last September, and I knew that's what I wanted to do, and that is really what pushed me. So then I reached out to some people from my Bible study group, my mentor, and we started discipleship. And the more I learned, the more I craved it, the more I saw his light, and and I just was in awe of him. And because of that, I just want to continue my journey, and I really, God, I'm so nervous. I absolutely love him, and just being here, coming here Sundays, and hearing the word and praising, even with the young adults, that was a great community for me. So it's been nice, and I can't wait to continue.
Awesome.
My name is Preston Till. I grew up around the idea of Jesus and Christianity, but I wasn't truly living in a relationship with him personally. As a teenager and young adult, I made a lot of bad choices. I dropped out of high school, got involved with drugs and alcohol, and eventually ended up in jail.
You're doing great, Preston.
I hit rock bottom and realized I couldn't do life on my own. God never gave up on me. God never gave up on me, even when I gave up on myself. Knowing my need for saving and from my sin and needing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I truly submitted my life to him, and he helped me turn my life around. 5 years later, I earned my diploma, graduated from a trade school, built a career I'm proud of, and began seeing his hand through every step in my purpose. Through church and through a men's group, God has called me to continue to fully surrender all parts of my life to him. I am fulfilled with gratitude, hope, and a desire to live for Jesus Christ. Standing here today, I know I'm not perfect, but I know I need Jesus. Today, I'm proud to publicly declare my life to him and follow where he leads. Follow where he leads me. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lauren. My testimony is a little long, I'm sorry. Before this, I tried to find myself in sexuality and self-identity, media distractions, and I wanted nothing to do with Christianity. And I even looked into very dark spiritual things, and all of these left me feeling purposeless, and I felt like I had no actual worth, had no other direction other than fleeting wants and desires. My words and my anger reflected all that I was feeling. My parents' constant influence and trust in God, my teachers and leaders who taught the Bible all led me to question what I was living for, what came after, why am I here, and what's the evidence? None of these other things were even close to ultimate good or satisfying. Really, I started turning my life and mindset around in my junior year of high school, and it was really hard. I looked at so many arguments and debates and the reliability of who Jesus was compared to other truths that I'd simply just wanted to be true because of my feelings, not facts. Morality, life, I questioned everything. And the answer that had been staring me the whole time was that Jesus is real, he's God, and he thinks I'm worth dying for.
Amen.
He's given me so many talents and abilities that I can use for him, and I'm so grateful my eyes have been opened to a truly perfect creator. I'm being more engaged in my daily life and in my academic life. I've become more patient with myself and others, and the deep anger I had is gone and replaced by gratitude that overwhelms me. I'm much less pessimistic about everything I experience. I'm involved in church, and I'm reading my Bible, and I'm actually understanding what I'm reading. I see how God has been moving in my life in the past, giving me signs and pulling me out of where I was. He put people in my life to build me up, and there is purpose in my life, and I'm called to do things. I'm not in a victim mindset anymore, and I want to fight to keep my faith essential and love my friends and family more and show my loved ones who saved me. Jesus is the rock. All I am is through him, and he's the basis of how I treat others. In the midst of a really difficult time last semester, one verse came to mind unprompted was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And while the context for this verse is the exiles under Babylon's reign, the verse still speaks to me, one of his children, who he has a plan for, who he loves and inspires. I'm ready to make a public proclamation that I've accepted him today.
Yes. Ch- Church, don't you love how good our God is? He brings dead things to life, and we are going to get these people baptized and celebrating. And so I'm going to invite them to go off stage. I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing, and we're going to get every one of these people baptized. So would you stand with us?
Then sings my soul.
Proper way to end our time together. I want to invite you to, we got some donuts, 500 donuts. Please eat them all on your way out. We have drinks. We have drinks for you as well on the way out. Grab those.